You know what time it is. It's time for Grating the Nerd. With your hosts, Tim and Zach. Take it away, boys.
Welcome back to Grating the Nerd. This is the show where we check out all kinds of fun stuff, be it movies, music, reading material, comics, games, what the hell ever. Of course, I'm here. And then the Mr. Burns to my Smithers, Zach, is also here. How's it going, Zach?
Pretty good. How are you, man?
I'm doing all right, man. Just getting all prepped for the boy's birthday party tomorrow. He turned 16. Yeah.
Is his birthday tomorrow?
No. Your birthday is tomorrow.
I was going to say, did we share a birthday and I didn't know that?
No. His is on the 1st. He shares a birthday with Lil Tommy Hollins.
Okay.
So, pip, pip, cheerio. And then who the fuck else? There was somebody else that I saw that was like fairly high profile name that has a... Oh, I watched Good Mythical Morning. Link, Neil. Good Mythical Morning. Also, it was on June 1st, and I was like, why don't you share a birthday with Link and Lil Tommy Hollins?
That's funny.
Anyway, what about you? You got any big names that you share a birthday with?
Oh, I couldn't remember, so I just Googled it.
Yeah?
Famous birthday. Oh, Mark Wahlberg. That's one that I remember.
Oh, my God. The two of you would stop any 9/11 attack.
I lay no claim to that. Brian McKnight. Kenny G.
Oh,
he'll be 65.
Really?
Yeah.
65. That's weird because he thought he died years ago. I know he's still alive. Breaking hearts and letting farts. That's his motto. I don't know if you know that. That's Kenny G's motto.
Yeah, I did know that.
You did know that?
It's actually...
I think I heard that before.
Yeah, it was my next tattoo idea, actually.
Awesome. So you got anything fun planned for tomorrow for your birthday?
Not really. No. Probably just going to hang out with the fam.
Right on.
Maybe go pick up a more expensive than usual coffee drink and bring home some dinner from a restaurant or something.
Oh, there you go. Get you one of those little unicorn ones or whatever. They still make those at Starbucks?
Shit, I don't know. I saw a kid the other day walking around with some kind of pink and purple swirled slushy thing. So
that
maybe.
Sounds like it. It's so funny because... I cannot get behind the like $10 coffee drinks. And it's super hypocritical because I will go out for happy hour and buy $9 beers, you know, and just, I'm like, ooh, it tastes like chocolate. I'm like, that's the exact same thing. Yeah. The exact same thing like of going and buying a $9 coffee drink and going, ooh, it tastes like chocolate.
Yeah. I don't spend that much on coffee normally. I usually just get an iced coffee, but, so I'm pretty plain Jane when it comes to that stuff. But, you know, every once in a while I'll spend a little bit of money on it, like around my birthday, or if we have like a free coffee drink from our rewards or something like that.
Right on. Cool. Yeah. We're doing a pool party for my, son's birthday, and so we've spent all week just trying like hell to get the water clear, you know, because it's clean. I mean, the water's clean, but it's just a little cloudy because we've had some rain and stuff, and so it's one of those things where, especially, you know, I mean, you don't want him to be known as like dirty pool at school or something. I went to his pool and got a staph infection. No, you did not. It is clean.
Is it clearing up?
It is slowly clearing up. I mean, and it's so funny. I've gone to the pool place multiple times. They probably got, like, at this point, they're probably like, listen, idiot, like, we've told you what to do. Because I just keep going in. I'm like, hey, yeah, so you said to vacuum and brush the whole pool, which we did. And then we added, like, copious amounts of shock and chlorine. And it's still cloudy. And they're like, you just got to keep doing it. And I'm like, okay. So like legitimately every day this week has been my wife, God love her, has been going out and vacuuming the whole pool and brushing it. And then I go out in the evening and dump chlorine in it. Yeah. And it's like I said, I mean, it's like super, like you get in it and you're like, ah, it's super clean. Like I can just tell it's really clean, you know, like, but it is a little, it is a little cloudy still just from all the stuff. So, and that's what they told me at the pool place. They're like, anytime we have rain, like it makes it cloudy again and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And, you know, and then they're like, and obviously like the more you vacuum, like anything that might be lying on the bottom, like be it like little bits of dirt or atmosphere or whatever, has it gotten in there? Like anytime you vacuum and brush, it like stirs it up and it kind of dissolves into the water. So, you know, that makes it cloudier. And I'm like, yeah, it's one of those things where I'm like, why is the water not crystal clear? You know?
Yeah.
But no, it's been good, man. So we're getting prepped for that. And yeah, and we're back now that this big project at work is done. I'm back to being able to work remote some part time, which is cool. So
cool.
That was cool. I did that this week and I was like, holy shit, getting to work in shorts again. This is amazing. Yeah. How about you? Anything else fun and exciting going on?
No, not really. Work's kind of calmed down a little bit. So that's not bad there. I text you a funny story the other day, but I don't want to tell that one. I do, like, right after I sent you.
But I don't want to tell that one.
Yeah, I don't want to tell that one. Right after I sent you that text message, though, I saw this guy riding down the street on a bicycle. And yeah. I was going to text you this, too, but I held off on it because I was like, I'm probably blowing up his phone.
No, you're fine, man.
It was this guy, and he was riding a bike, and he was shirtless, okay? But yeah, he had something strapped over his shoulder, and it was a large, flat object on his back. And I was like, oh, like, at first glance, what I thought it was one of those big art portfolio things that, like, you put, like, okay. Like artwork and stuff inside of. And I was like, oh, he's an artist. And as I drove closer, I was like, no, he's not. Because what I realized was the thing that was strapped over his shoulder was the shirt that he was no longer wearing. What was tied to his back using the shirt was a television.
No, oh my gosh. A television.
And he was riding a bike with one hand. He was holding the handlebars. And then his other hand, he had kind of behind him, just holding one end of the TV that was strapped to his back using a t-shirt.
Jesus.
I was like, I can't decide if I just saw a robbery or if this was like a furniture mover with a DUI.
A furniture mover with a DUI. I gotcha. It'll be one at a time, but I gotcha. Oh, that's amazing. Shit. That's funny as hell, dude.
It was human ingenuity at its finest. That's what I think.
Yeah, absolutely. You get a lot of that in Ohio.
Yeah, you do.
you get a lot of that in Ohio. The human ingenuity, like, you know, like, why are you doing it that way? Because it's free. Oh.
You know those big heavy duty office, they're like paper clips that you have to like push down onto metal like hinges and it opens up and then you.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking called?
About? What are they called?
Yeah, you know, the executive clips.
Executive clips.
You. That's what.
Oh well, somebody executive clipped their bumper back onto their car. I saw that. I got a photo of that.
I'm gonna Google this real quick just to make sure I'm not full of shit, but I believe that is what they are called. Yeah, I think so. Although I'm seeing the all metal, like one solid piece of metal ones now. So maybe I'm wrong.
Staples has them as medium binder clips.
Oh, okay. Binder clips. Maybe that's it. Binder clip. Yep. Binder clips. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So I've always
heard them called executive clips, but okay. Maybe binder clips.
I had never seen them before until I started working in an office.
That's true. Yeah. That's where you see them most of the time.
Yeah.
So for anybody who's trying to imagine what we're talking about, they're black typically, although I'm sure they make them in different colors, but
I've seen them in other colors. It's just not common.
Yeah, they're like a black piece of like metal or plastic that's kind of roughly U-shaped, but then the top's pinched together and it's got two little metal pieces that come out of either side that are sort of roughly stick man outline shaped, like just a head and torso. Boy.
You were painting a picture here.
I know, right?
everybody's going to know what this is.
What other shape would you call those other what, than look like a very basic restroom stick man shape?
It looks like a sorry game piece.
Okay. Okay. Like a little movement token from the game. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. I'm saying. Yeah, because yeah. At first you're like a sorry game piece, and I was like a jank game piece, like wish.com game piece.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, no, from the game Sorry.
Yeah, from the game Sorry.
Yes, okay.
Anyway, it's like a metal hinge, and you push on it, and it opens and closes, and it can hold a large sum of paper.
Yes. Yes, it can. But approximately as many sheets as it takes to equal the width of the base.
That's what she said.
Up to that. As many sheets?
Yep.
Oh, man.
So anyway, yeah, it was holding. I took a picture of it because I'm sitting at an intersection. This car pulls up next to me and I took a picture of it because it's like right there. And my wife makes fun of me because like a few years back, I got into a fender bender. Like I pulled out of a parking lot and a car just slammed right into me. And in my bumper cover got torn off.
Okay.
And so the insurance company told, you know, they told me which shop to go to, and I got there and they gave me an estimate and they were like, it's going to be like $1,100 to fix that. And I was like, what? Because my deductible is really high and like in the end, like insurance is only going to be able to end up paying for part of it. I'm going to be able to be paying for the majority of it. And I was like, why does it cost so much? And he's like, well, we got to get you new pieces. So we'll have to order those special and it's not going to come with the paint on it. So we're going to have to do some paint matching. And he was like, we got to make sure that the bumper rail wasn't crooked. So we'll have to put you up on this jig. That's got a like thing that makes sure that the rail's not crooked. It was crooked as hell. So I'm sure that was probably part of it, but I was like $1,100. Like I think the bumper is probably still doing its job. And the cover, I just can't justify spending that on a cracked cover for that. You know what I mean?
Right. So like, absolutely. Yeah.
What I noticed was that the cover, if you lifted up if you lifted up the hood to the engine, the cover was actually attached to the car with these little plastic like bolt things.
Yeah.
And so like they were just stripped off and I didn't have the replacement bolt things. I probably could have like bought them on eBay or something, but instead of getting that, I was like, well, I've got these heavy duty zip ties.
Wondrous.
I just took two zip ties and put them through the holes and zip tied the bumper cover back on. My wife was like, oh, that's so hillbilly. It looks so dumb and made fun of me for it. But like realistically, I don't feel like you noticed it that much because it was only there were only like two small, like half inch, maybe even less than that pieces of zip tie that were sticking out of the vehicle. The rest of it was completely underneath it.
Right.
And I was like, you called me hillbilly for this. At least I didn't paperclip my bumper back on.
Yeah, right. I like the thought that your wife wants you to put on airs when you guys, like, I don't know how long ago this was, but I know you're both from the Hamilton area. Like, I don't want our neighbors to think that we're hill jacks.
I was like, I could have used duct tape like every other person around here.
Right. Yeah. The town sign is duct taped together.
It is.
I think I knew that. Clipped on bumper. Wonderful. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, do you want to talk some news?
Let's hear the news.
So the news, let's see. So I'm looking through the news this week. The Deadpool 3 writers in an interview this week revealed that Marvel Studios has been, quote, incredibly supportive of their R-rated content.
Really?
Yeah, which is good because we got the announcement this week that basically the writing team and many of the actors are coming back for Deadpool 3 and it's in work right now, you know? So, they did say they go, when it comes to particular jokes, if there's something they're not happy with, eventually somebody will just go, maybe not that joke. They'll go, but overall, they've been very like, yeah, do what you want. It's R-rated. You know,
like, that's funny.
So I'm like, that's kind of hilarious that that occasionally they get the, yeah, maybe not that joke.
It's a step too far.
Yeah. The Flash is said to have been quote unquote extraordinarily well received by test screening audiences. What do you think about that, man?
I don't know, man. I can't imagine that's true. Unless, like, they just taught Ezra Miller how to run, like he's not
like a
drunken toddler.
Yeah. Like he's not in the early scenes of Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Like he does. He's before Mama got murdered, she said this was my running shoes. Yeah, whatever. You're gonna run your ass to Hawaii and fight the whole state, you weirdo. I don't know, man. I just every time I see anything with the Ezra Miller, I like them less.
You know, yeah. Like, yeah.
I'm just like, oh, you're so insufferable. But yeah, apparently The Flash is going to be good. So I don't know. I've seen people like lobbying to replace Ezra Miller, and I'm like, guys, like, you, how far into this movie are they? They can't replace the lead at this point.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, Ratcatcher. Ratcatcher's in Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Did you see this?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah. What's her name? Daniela Melchior, I think her name is. She is just announced that she's been added to the cast listing. So, yeah. So, James Gunn continuing to take his folks from other properties and bringing them over, which, good on him, man. I think that's cool. Let's see. What else do we got going on here? Oh, did you see that Joker 2 is in the works, right? Or a Joker sequel of some sort?
No, I didn't see that.
So that is supposedly in early stage.
Joaquin Phoenix?
Yeah.
Okay.
But also there is a rumor. I don't know how much weight it holds, but it is a rumor that DC is seriously considering bringing Todd Phillips, who was the director and writer of that, on as in like kind of a consulting role, like a la early Kevin Feige of like, hey, we'd like you to oversee the DCEU.
Oh, okay. I still haven't seen that film.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
I would recommend it, man. It's really good.
No, I know a lot of people that really liked it.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, that's kind of like making me not want to see it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's the people who are recommending it to me are the same people who are like, Fast and the Furious is a great series.
Oh.
You know what I mean? I'm like, no, I don't know. I don't know if I trust your opinion.
Right. Here's the thing. I really like Joker. I feel like a lot of people that like Joker are the same people who are like watching Rick and Morty and are like, I'm just like Rick. And it's like, no, Rick's the bad guy. You're not supposed to like Rick, you know? And they're I'm such a Rick. Those are the people that are like, I've got Joker brain. Like, I think that anarchy would be great. I'm like, motherfucker, you'd be dead in 10 minutes if we had anarchy, you know?
Those are the people that are still watching Family Guy.
But I did like it. The weird thing to me is it's not part of the DCEU at all. Like it's its own standalone universe and everything. And
so are they trying to maybe bring him in to make the DCEU better because that was so well received?
I assume so. I would be surprised if they don't start trying to do multiple universe shit, you know, following The Flash. And the fact that Marvel's doing it now, if DC has taught us anything, it's that they will make some vain half-assed attempt at doing whatever Marvel did 5 years later. So I could see them bringing him in and being like, we're going to make the Joker in a multiverse. And then Flash is over here. And then this is over here. You know, it's going to be shitty. Anyway, Todd Phillips, let's not forget, also director of Old School and the Hangover movies.
Oh.
Yeah, so he's got a real comedic background, which when I saw that he was doing Joker, I was like, that guy? And then Joker's good, though, man. It's real dark. So, yeah, it's real. It's real. You know how DC continues to go like, we want a dark, gritty universe. It's pretty dark and gritty.
Hmm.
It's pretty much a character study of a man with mental illness.
I was going to say, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Definitely the impression I got.
Which is really well done, though.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's see. What else do we got? Oh, the first trailer came out for Terror on the Prairie, the movie that Gina Carano moved to with Ben Shapiro's production company after getting shit canned from Disney.
Yep. What a move up.
Yeah, I know, right? Right.
Have you heard all of the hubbub online lately about Moses Ingram and Gina Carano?
I've read some of it.
Yeah. So, like, you know, all of the like really bigoted Star Wars fans are all up in arms because Disney and Ewan McGregor and some of the other actors who were in Obi-Wan Kenobi, which hopefully we'll get here to in a minute.
Yeah. We need to dig into that soon. But
that Disney was defending her so much because of all the racism that she's getting.
Right.
And then saying, how come you didn't go to defend Gina Carano when she was being an anti-Semite and transphobic?
Right. You know? I saw that.
Which is not how they worded it, but that's what the problem was.
Right. That's what the problem is. Like, the fact that she didn't believe in COVID makes you not defending that makes you somehow hypocritical because you're defending this other woman because of her race.
Yeah. They're defending one person because of how they were born and not defending another person because they're a hate-filled asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nature versus nurture, right?
I suppose, yeah. Defending
nature and not nurture. I don't know. Was she anti-Semitic? I thought she just made some pretty poor, like people who won't wear masks are the same as Jewish people having to wear stars.
That's pretty anti-Semitic.
Yeah. Well,
trying to compare, like, being told by the government that you should wear a mask. They're not saying they're going to fucking arrest you.
Right. Oh, believe
me. But comparing that to millions of Jews who were forced to wear stars to be identified, or they would be shot and killed, but later probably were shot and killed anyway.
Anyway, right.
I mean, that's pretty anti-Semitic. At least by my standards.
And that's what I was like. I didn't know if she had made other comments of like, don't trust Jewish people or something like that. You know, like, I don't know if she went that far.
No, I don't think that she was just like flat out like Jews are bad or something. I don't think she said that. I think it was just like, you know, that's not the first time I've heard that. Like, a lot of people like to compare mask wearing to the Holocaust, like they're two equal things, but they're not. Yeah. They're not even remotely close. It's the same thing with this problem here, trying to compare what's happening to Moses Ingram. That's her name, right? Did I
get her? Yeah.
I keep thinking I'm saying her last name wrong.
I think that's how I would pronounce it, Ingram.
Yeah, I think it's Ingram. Comparing it to that is just, it's not even comparable. Not even close.
No, not at all.
It's just a broad display of racism, ignorance, just stupidity on a profound level.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm not trying to defend what she said.
Oh, no, I'm not saying you are.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with. Yeah. Here's the thing. You know kind of where I land on the free speech thing. I think that everybody should be able to say kind of whatever they want at any point and just have to deal with the consequences. You know, like we shouldn't tell her she can't say that. But if the place she works goes, oh, we're going to fire you because you said that, that's how the world works. That's fine. You know, like, if you want to be an idiot and say some ignorant, hateful shit, do it. And that, you know, like our country is built on allowing stupidity to reign. But you also then shouldn't get completely butthurt when your company goes, we don't agree with that ignorant shit, so we're going to fire you, you know, because that's their right. That's their free speech to go, nah, you're a dumbass. We're going to fire you.
Yep.
So, you know, it's the conversation my daughter and I have all the time. I'm like, you can't, if you truly want anybody to be able to say what they believe, then unfortunately you can't tell ignorant and or hate filled people, well, you can't say it, but those people then shouldn't get mad when there's fallout from what they say, you know, because that's the thing that the hate filled love to throw out is like, well, I thought we had free speech. You do have free speech, but you can't get all upset and cry when then people go, well, guess what? I have the right as a business that you're not allowed to come into my store because I think you're an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's how capitalism works, baby. That's how our country works. Like, I can refuse service to whoever based on their opinions, not based on other things. I shouldn't be able to based on like their religion or their sexuality or their gender or their race or, you know, but I should be able to go, no, I just don't want to be associated with you. I don't want people to know that you buy your coffee here because I think you're a dickhead. So everybody else probably thinks you're a dickhead also, you know? And that's the problem. We have this weird, both sides of the fence really have this weird double standard of, I want everybody to be able to free speech as long as I agree with what they're saying. Yep. I'm like, no, you got to let everybody free speech, but you also, we need to have the rights to deal with that fallout. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Again, it's the everybody being locked up in their house for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people this at work all the time. I go, of course this would never happen. Of course, because we're in a professional company. But I go, so of course it would never happen. Never. But people are nicer when they're sitting across a table from somebody than when they're online talking to somebody.
Oh, absolutely.
And the reason is because even though, of course, it would never happen, there's a chance that I'm going to get my teeth knocked out if I say the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that little bit of fear of God in people makes the world a little more civil. And we've lost that in the electronic age. Nobody's scared of anybody anymore.
I think that, and I think that's why a lot of companies try to do the face-to-face meetings when they do them online, like turn your camera on situation. Because when you're just on the computer, there's that physical distance between you and the person. It creates a certain level of anonymity. And at the same time, it almost takes away from that person being somewhat real to you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so you're much more kind, or much more likely, rather, to just speak off the cuff than you are to do that in person, because when you're there in person and you can see that person, it's not just the fear of getting your teeth knocked out. It's that human emotion that you see in that person that's going to trigger something in you.
Yeah, it's empathy.
It's empathy.
It's empathy. Yeah.
And that just kind of goes out the window when you work online, I think.
Yep.
You know, agreed. Maybe not for everybody, but it does for a large portion of people.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So I'm with you, though, man. I think that it is the empathy thing for 95% of the populace. The 5% of sociopaths, we need that self-preservation scare of, am I going to get fired? Am I going to get hit?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is this guy going to beat my ass in the parking lot? Maybe I shouldn't call him an asshole to his face, you know, like in a meeting with 17 other people. Yeah, I think that it's an unfortunate thing, but it's some of that stuff is needed, you know?
Yeah.
All right. we've run that into the ground. Let me see. There was one other piece of really quick news that I'm just super excited about. We got the announcement this week that Our Flag Means Death is getting a second season.
Yeah. I heard that the reason they held it off is that most people think it's because they wanted to do it as part of Pride Month.
Yeah. I feel like it's one of those gestures that feels somewhat artificial by a big corporation.
Sure.
You know, like if you believed in the show and you trusted in the show, you should have just said right away, like, yes, this is fucking coming back, baby. You know, like, and they even said, even in the announcement, they were like, the incredible groundswell of fans. And I'm like, that makes it seem like you guys didn't believe in it. And only because of the results of showing it, are you coming back with it? You know, like, I don't know. It's weird. It's very weird to me. I'm just excited, though. I'm excited.
I am too. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
It was great. Really well done, Sean. If you haven't seen it, check it out.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I've been trying to. My daughter hasn't watched it yet. I'm like, you need to watch this.
Really?
Like, she goes, I've got so many things to watch. And I'm like, I know, but it's
prioritize
it's glorious and it's amazing. You need to watch it. But we're here to talk about Obi-Wan and his Kenobi.
Yep.
So Obi-Wan episode 3, what'd you think?
All right, I guess.
Okay. Still not sold, but like, did you like
the first two better? Actually, no.
Did you? Okay. Yeah. You like the first two better.
Like the first two better. Part of it is like, we talked in the first two episodes about how, like, I don't care for the fact that Obi-Wan has turned into this bumbling, grumpy, like, get off my lawn man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't care for it.
Gotcha.
He's like, apparently lost his skills with the lightsaber. He's not doing great trying to use the Force.
Right.
Like, he's done like no Jedi mind tricks when that was probably going to be beneficial to him. And
It'd probably be very beneficial to him to do a Jedi mind trick.
But it's like, yeah, like none of that's going on.
Yeah.
Zach Braff was in it, and I don't like him.
Yeah. He was the weird mole nose guy. Star Nose Mole Man.
He was the weird Star Nose Mole Man. I do like that character. I like the idea.
I did too, man. I really like mole people.
Yeah.
So I liked Freck because it was a cool character where it was like, or where it was just an everyday working man. Well, because we don't see that a lot, and especially in Star Wars, but it was an everyday working man who just agreed with the shitty government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which we see in the real world a lot. We don't see in Star Wars almost ever.
Yeah.
You know, people are usually like, the Empire sucks, or we're bad guys. That's why we like the Empire. You don't really see just a hardworking, you know, red-blooded American man. And people like, he was not American. They were on another planet. Like, whatever. He was driving a truck. USA. But he was just a dude who, like, it looks like he had painted the Empire symbol on the back of his truck himself.
Yeah.
It could just like, you know, I mean, it was like it was a fucking bumper sticker, like basically right on his truck. These colors don't run.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I kind of like that they introduced a character like that, because he also wasn't an asshole. Like, he was like genuinely a nice guy who was just like, I think something might be up with these two. Like he was just a good dude. Like he picked up hitchhikers. You know, like, he was just a nice guy who happens to agree with the Empire.
Right.
I thought it was cool. I thought it was a cool character to add.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was joking about the Zach Braff thing, although I don't really like Zach Braff. I just right. I was joking. Yeah. Leia was a little bit more likable in this episode.
Absolutely.
I like all of the new droids that are in it. There's a lot of new droid characters.
Yeah. Ned B.
Cool character. Ned
B was the droid who was a good non-verbal character.
Yeah. I was talking to my coworker about this, and she said, wait till you see the part where Obi-Wan just walks away from Vader. And I was like, okay, well, I haven't seen it yet. Okay, and she's like, yeah. He just walks away. Like, tell me how you feel after you see that. And I watched it and I was like, I mean, he's maybe not walking away, but like, he's definitely not trying very hard to get away.
Right. Yeah.
Or the way that he's trying makes it seem like he's an old man who has night blindness and can't find his way out of the desert.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. So I will say, to take a step back to episode 2, my son was like, hey, do you want to watch that with me? Because I haven't watched it yet. I'm like, yeah. So we got to the part and I really paid attention this time in episode 2 when Leia is trying to run away from him. Mm-hmm. And the way they cut it through the city, there is one where he is clearly just standing next to her and then she changes direction. And it's a second take of that scene. You can tell, but it's not edited well, where he clearly, she's within arm's reach and he doesn't, and she runs off.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, that you're right. It makes him feel like he's a tottering old man who,
I hate it,
can barely get his sandals on. You know,
I hate it.
Does he wear sandals? He doesn't wear sandals. He wears boots.
He barely gets his boots on. He's a boot man.
He's a boot man.
One of the things I don't like about this is, like, so Leia and Luke are 10, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Ewan McGregor is great. Don't get me wrong. He's a great actor. I really like him.
Right.
He looks too good in this. Like, he's supposed to be 10 years older than he was in the prequels. And then in 9 years from now, we get from this to the decrepit old man with white hair in the desert. Like, really have to feel like he just totally and completely lets himself go.
Right,
like,
right.
And like, I don't even think you could get there with gray hair either. But like,
yeah, no, I think they should have snuck some gray into his beard.
Yeah,
and hair.
Yeah. It would have been better, I think, if they like salt and peppered his hair a little bit more.
Yeah.
And just made him look like he's just around the corner from looking like the old man. I mean, like, I feel like he had like a real hard summer or something. Rode hard and put up wet, man.
right. Yeah. Yeah. He got space COVID in 2 years and my hair went white, never looked back.
Yeah. I'm a long hauler.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. He does look too good in this.
He looks too good.
I think, unfortunately, that makes them lean on him acting old, which gives him that weird, like, are you okay, buddy? Do you need some Gatorade? Like, feeling. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like they're trying to offset the look with the totter around. Like, use both hands on your lightsaber, and Vader is going to just easily overpower you with one. You know, like,
right.
Like, it makes Obi-Wan feel not threatening. You know what I mean? Like, okay, dude. Like, everybody talks about how great Master Kenobi was, and I'm like, nah, he doesn't really feel like it. He feels like he's barely hanging on, you know? Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you, man. I don't like some of that stuff. Like, I really feel like he should feel a little bit more formidable.
Yeah, I feel like he should feel more formidable, and I feel like he should look older. But I guess, like, if I'm really going to complain about that, I need to think about the fact that he still looked pretty young in the prequels. Like, realistically, yeah. If we're going to get from there, which is like 30 some odd years ago, like, yeah. If you're going back from like where Luke is as a 19 year old in New Hope,
right?
Going back is like, what, like 30 years, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, that take. Right. Yeah, I think you're pretty close.
I feel like he had to have been older in the prequels. Like, he should have started off older to get from there to here in 30 years.
Well, and I mean, even in the prequels, if you remember, like, in the first prequel, he was still a Padawan.
I know.
Which doesn't feel right. you know, like, it feels like he should have been like a, you know, like a card carrying SAG member at that point, not an extra, right. You know, like, not a kid actor.
Yeah, he's too young. It doesn't make sense logically for him to get from there to 70, push an 80 year old man in A New Hope.
Right.
So in like 9 years, right, from now to A New Hope. Okay. You're saying that he's going to age so much that he looks like he's aged 30, an additional 30 years.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, how old is Ewan McGregor right now?
Yeah, that's let's see. He is 51.
Yeah. So he's got 20 years and 10.
So
basically.
Yeah, he needs to look older.
Right.
Yeah. He should have been looking older from the outset.
Right.
It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I know the whole thing was like, we needed him to have a master so that the master could pass on Anakin to him. Like, and that's where Qui-Gon comes in.
Yeah. But I mean, even that's like, even that whole thing is very strange to me. Like, he's a Padawan who's nearing the end of his training.
Mm-hmm.
And then Qui-Gon dies and's like, you got to train the boy. And he's like, hey, he wants me to train him. And they're all, and all these Jedi are just kind of like, all right, like, you've been not a Padawan for 12 hours. Train him.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make sense to me. You know, like,
mm-hmm.
like, I feel like, again, we've talked about this. Like, the Jedi aren't the good guys in this. Like, they're all kind of dumb. You know, like,
they're dumb, and it kind of comes across like a cult a little bit.
Well,
like,
yeah.
There's that whole scene where they're talking, where he's talking to Leia about how when he was first observed to be force sensitive, he was taken from his family and he doesn't remember his real family.
Right. Yeah.
I was like, oh, they did sort of introduce this idea that Obi-Wan might have a brother.
Yeah.
And so, like, is that just to, like, maybe extend the series even more?
Oh, man. I don't know, man. Maybe.
It might be a stretch, but I do think that, like, they could say, oh, this is Obi-Wan's brother that he was talking about.
What do you think his name is? If Obi-Wan's real name, we assume, is Ben. I assume that's his real name and he didn't just make it up to go into hiding. So if his real name is Ben, what do you reckon his brother's name is? Gary?
Do you think it's his real name?
I don't know. I don't know if it is. Maybe it's not. I mean, I don't think Obi-Wan is his real name, is it?
I think it is.
Oh, I thought that was like his Jedi name or whatever.
Do Jedi take on names when they become Jedi?
I don't know. I'm
unqualified for this. We should have had a super nerd on who could tell us.
We should have.
But maybe it really is Obi-Wan and his brother's called Obi-2. I love that long delay and that laugh. I'm leaving that in.
yeah. I got there. I was like, is that worth me giving a courtesy laugh? No. what I was thinking about is watching Stranger Things. You know, they call 11 L, right? Yeah. And so we paused the show during one episode because my daughter's like, what would the other kids be called if it relates to their number? And I was like, well, obviously one would be Juan. And so then she was like, and three could be Trey. And I was like, right. Mm-hmm. And then, boy, we couldn't come up with any others. We were like, God, the rest of those numbers are hard to do. I got really stuck on two. I was like, what would two be? And so then I started going to other languages. I'm like, okay, what would dose? No, that's not a name. you know? Yeah. So she broke my brain for a while. So, let me see. I'm trying to Google it right now on like Wikipedia. I don't know. Maybe Obi-Wan is his real name. Yeah. It says he changed his name to Ben. I mean, you gotta know though, right? Like if you have a child, you're a human and you have a child and you're in a world where some people have the names Luke and Ben, and you name mm-hmm. your kid Obi-Wan, you mm-hmm. gotta know at that point, like, he's probably force sensitive, right? Like,
I feel like the names are probably more reflective of the culture and the planet that they came from.
Okay. So you think Tatooine just has a lot of like Garys and
I think Tatooine is kind of like backwater.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Okay.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. That makes sense. So Obi-Wan, probably not from Tatooine originally. When he moved there, he took the name Ben because that's sort of a more standard name.
Yeah, that might fit the scene a little bit
better. I'm with you. I'm on board with all this.
Okay.
I'm on board with all this. Gotcha.
Also, there's that scene in A New Hope at the beginning where he sees the hologram of Princess Leia, and she says, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope.
Yeah.
And he goes, Obi-Wan, I haven't heard that name in so long, but it's only been like 9 years.
It's been 9 years. Well, you know what? I've seen people talk about that too, because he also, when he gets on the when they're heading to the Death Star or wherever, you know, he's like, I feel a presence I haven't felt in quite some time. You mean like probably 8 years by the end of this series? Yeah, mm-hmm. a presence you haven't felt in less than a decade, you know, like.
Yeah. And even then, he's acting much more brave than he did when he saw Vader in the village and he's like hyperventilating.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, one thing they did well, a couple things they did well, but they all pertain to Darth Vader.
Yes. Yes.
He's great in this.
He's fucking awesome in this. I'll give you that, man. I will give you that. He is awesome in this. And like, they answered a question for us. My question last time was, are they bringing back James Earl Jones to do the voice?
Yeah.
And they did, with a little bit of help.
Yeah, so he's credited, but it also says that they used Respeecher.
They did use Respeecher to make his voice sound younger. Because he was also credited.
Oh, is that all they did to make it younger? They didn't...
So it's an AI, and
it is.
One of the things that it does is it uses like archival audio to be able to simulate a voice.
Yeah.
To my knowledge, I don't know this for certain, but my assumption is that they probably had James Earl Jones record the lines and then they ran it through Respeecher and had it re-simulate in more younger sounding Vader voice. Because
he
did the lines in Rogue One when he was in that, and he was noticeably older. A lot of fans noticed it. I mean, it still sounded like Vader. I mean, he still sounds great. He's 91. I can't believe they got him to do this, but this is like one of his passion characters. He's always loved it.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, that was my question. I was under the impression that they just used Respeecher and archival footage of him and just built the lines.
I don't know, because he's credited for it. They may have just credited him because it is technically his voice.
True.
But I think he may have actually spoke the lines. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know for certain, because nobody's come out and said officially. Every other article I've read about it, it's a lot of speculation.
Okay.
Yeah. They may have just credited him because he is, in fact, alive, and it is technically his voice.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's making me think like soon. I don't know how soon, but in the whole scheme of things, soon we will get to a point where somebody will be cast as a major tentpole character and will just play that character forever, even after they die.
Yeah, we talked about this last episode. Yeah,
we did. I think that'll happen. And I think that's gonna happen. I think we
don't have to worry about them aging or anything.
Yeah, I don't know that we'll see it because we're getting old, but I think our kids will definitely live in a world where, you know, somebody who is dead is still playing a character and their family is getting checked.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, have you seen Unreal Engine 5?
I have.
There are some really amazing videos using Unreal Engine 5. I almost can't tell the difference between that and reality.
Right.
There are ones where I've seen it where I'm like, okay, yeah, there's little hints in there where my brain is like, that doesn't look quite right.
Yeah.
Some of the ones I've seen though are so dead on that it really sort of lends credence to that idea that this might be a computer simulation.
right.
It's very convincing.
Yeah.
It's very, and it's amazing. Like thinking that like 35 years ago, you know, when Super Mario Brothers came out, and we've come that far in video game technology, and just being able to simulate something that isn't even real.
Right.
It's amazing. It's, and then they have metahuman application where they can basically just like cook up people that don't even exist and they look incredibly real.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. Man. I don't think we're that far off. I think that we're just we're just a few tweaks away from catching all of those little things that the eye is like, that's something not quite right about that, you know?
Yep. Yep. And so much of it is just nuance, like you said, like little tweaks where the She-Hulk trailer was a perfect example. Like when she, I think one of the big complaints people had was when she picks up her phone to swipe through Tinder or whatever the equivalent is that she's on, they were like, her eyes kind of go up into the left a little bit and normal people don't do that, you know? And so it's just those little things that like make sense when you're programming it. But if somebody's watching keenly, they'll go, ooh, that's not how normal people move.
Mm-hmm.
Then they just got to tweak those things. And I think that it will be, I mean, AI in and of itself, it will be able to clear a lot of that up. You know,
yeah, I think
they'll be able to just feed a million hours of footage of people doing whatever, washing the dishes, into an AI thing. And they'll be able to plug that into the model they've built and say, like, make the eyes move like a normal person would while they're washing the dishes, you know, and it'll be able to do it. All of that combined, man, it's incredibly cool and incredibly eerie at the same time.
It is. It is.
But anyway, yeah. So anyway, all of that, we went on a big tangent there from Vader, but Vader is badass in this.
He really is. Yeah.
Yeah. He's great. He feels like truly like a man who has nothing left, Vader, where he just, when he pulls that guy through the like serving window and that little like hut or whatever, and he's holding him up. And then the little boy runs out and's like, no. And he just like pins him to the wall and then breaks, snaps his neck. I was like,
geez. Oh yeah. I wasn't expecting that. I was like, damn.
Yeah. And then he just starts dragging that woman through the streets behind him. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. Like, he's very menacing in this.
Yeah.
They did a really good job with it, I think.
Yeah. Even his like presence, his size and everything. I mean, kudos. I know it's a big suit, but kudos on Hayden Christensen for putting on some weight and stuff, man. Like,
yeah. Yeah. He's bulkier for sure.
Yeah, he definitely looks big and intimidating in this.
The thing is like one of the things we talked about in the last episode was like, what is the point of having Hayden Christensen back as Vader if he's only going to wear the suit? Do you think we're going to get scenes where he takes the helmet off and we hear his recognizable, do you want fries with that voice?
So here's the thing I'm thinking. I was watching New Rockstar's take on this episode. And they talked about in one of the animated series, I forget which one it is, so sorry, but we have another person voicing Anakin. And then later in the series, he's Vader and they use James Earl Jones' voice, right? At one point in that series, his face mask gets cracked and a piece of it gets broken out. Mm-hmm. And what they did in that is they actually took the two voices and meshed them together to make a new voice. So it's like he's got partial mask on still. So you still get that intimidating deep James Earl Jones, but you get the other actor's voice kind of meshed in and they made a new third voice out of meshing those two together.
Okay. So it's supposed to give you the idea that his voice is modulated by the helmet.
Right.
Is that
right.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if we're going to see something like that. I don't know, because without the helmet, I mean, he needs the helmet to breathe, right?
I think so.
Yeah. But so I don't know how long he would be, you know. I can't imagine they're going to give us like scenes of Hayden Christensen just flopping around on the ground, gasping. You know, like, the only thing I could think is we did get one little like kind of vision of him in this at a distance. Obi-Wan like thought he saw him like in the Jedi robes.
You're right.
I'm wondering if we're going to get more and more of that, like them maybe conversing and like their minds linking or something.
Yeah. Okay.
And so maybe we'll get some more of that. Yeah. I don't know. I was kind of wondering the same thing after seeing this.
Yeah. I did like, see that.
Oh, even that, speaking of Vader and holding his breath and everything, them assembling him coming out of the Bacta tank was awesome.
Yeah, that was a cool scene.
That's so goddamn good. And the fact that like those little tubes that they pull out on new rock stars, I didn't know this because I kind of assumed that might be what they were, but they're like, those are his breathing tubes. The ones they pull out of his back, those little pincher claw things.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And so they're like, so essentially he has to just hold his breath through the whole assembly process. And I was like, oh yeah, that sucks. Like, I'd be like, can we do the mask first? Like,
yeah,
you know. So that was a cool ass scene though, man, of them
like, it was, but it's so Star Warsy. Just
the
unnecessarily large robot parts doing things that somebody could do with their hand.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it felt Iron Man 1 to me a little bit, which I liked. A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Which bit. I dug. I was like, yes. So good, man. I like also that when we first see him in this, you know, the third sister is like, it sounds like she's blaming Obi-Wan for the Grand Inquisitor or the High Inquisitor getting killed.
It did.
Like,
she's
just, and then he's just like, I don't care about him. Yeah. He's just kind of like, fuck off with that noise. Like, I want Obi-Wan. I was like, that's awesome. Like, again, it feels like he doesn't give a shit, you know, like he hates everybody and he's mad at the world. And I'm like, okay, I don't know, man. I'm enjoying this portrayal of him enough that I'm like, it's starting to make me dislike the prequels less. You know?
Okay. Yeah.
Like, cause I'm like, I could see how the moody, shitty teenage guy could get here now, you know, like it's the fucking, the weird loner at school that everybody was always a little worried. Like, is he gonna bring a gun to school? But like not ever having to become an adult, like instead just being constantly fed that edgelord shit. And he becomes this hate filled, you know, garbage person. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I see how that could work out now. Like it's starting to make those make more sense to me. I would have loved if at one point, if Obi-Wan would have like knocked him down or something. And he would have said like, I hate sand, you know, just like in the dunes there in that little mining area, like just, like, I got sand in my breathing thing. It would have really broken the character, but it would have been hilarious to watch. Yeah, but I mean, even like he just starts burning Obi-Wan alive in this. Like, fuck, dude. Like, this is the Darth Vader I want to see. I just hope that they don't go, you know what? What if he just tried to become a benevolent crime lord of an area? Like, just stop it with that shit. I want my bad guys to be bad guys. Anyway, yeah, he was definitely the highlight of this episode for me.
Absolutely the highlight. Yeah. So how are you feeling about the show now?
I actually like this episode a lot. I think it's still in the same place. I still don't think I'm enjoying it as much as I enjoy Mandalorian, but I think it took some good strides forward in this episode.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of start to finish, I was kind of like, okay, more toward the end. But even start to finish, I think I was kind of like, oh, shit. Okay, yeah. Oh, shit. You know, kind of throughout the whole thing. Like, I mean, even they had that laser gate that, like, chopped that dude in half when he fell on it. That was kind of badass.
Yeah, that was
pretty sweet. Like, oh, shit. It is a little weird, though, that like Obi-Wan blasted it and tried to figure out how to turn it off instead of just walking around it.
All right. That was my first thought.
Like, walk around the gate.
You can clearly get around the posts at the end. Like,
yeah. Like, that part cracked me up. I was just like, it's one of those things where, I don't know, like, I mean, now if he was like, we got to take the truck, I would have gotten it. Like, we're still too far to walk. We got to take the truck. Okay, sure. But they were clearly going to walk through it. And mm-hmm. he just like, I can't get it to turn off. I'm going to have to blast it. I'm like, just walk around it. Like,
I don't understand why you would try to go on foot, honestly.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, maybe they were planning on taking the truck. Maybe they were going to take the truck.
Well, it looked like he was like walked through it and then was stopped by the other vehicle.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, obviously you're going to be on the run at this point because you've killed a bunch of stormtroopers.
Right.
Wouldn't you try to get out of there faster and put some distance between you and the next person?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. I did like the Imperial officer too, though. She was a good character. Again, somebody who like, she was like, I signed up to be part of the Empire. And it wasn't until I got promoted pretty high that I was like, oh, we're the bad guys.
You know,
like, I like that. I like characters like that who are live in the gray and aren't so black mm-hmm. and white. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like those are good characters. Those are interesting characters to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm excited by her and I'm excited. Like you said, I actually like the Freck character. I thought he was good. Mm-hmm. I want to see more characters like that. I want to see more characters that feel like real people in this environment. You know, I don't need mods on brightly colored Vespas. I need a dude who's just making his way through the world with the hand.
Making his way downtown.
Yeah. Moving fast. Faces patched probably. You know?
Yeah. So I tend to agree with that. The thing is, especially with Boba Fett, there was a lot of introduction of like still even more newer races and more monsters, more aliens and stuff. And while that's sort of what they did with Freck was still very much a costume. And I like that. Right. I like the idea of these things being practical effects rather than digital effects. But like, there's such a wealth of Star Wars stuff already that like, why not just take something that already exists and give us a character from that point of view? You know, give us make it richer, you know?
Right. Well, and I think it's weird because you kind of wonder, because I think that all the time too. I'm like, why are you introducing a new species? Like, we don't need that.
Yeah.
But like, this is the first time that we've been on this planet in live action. You know, I think that's true. Was in a video game maybe or something. So I mm-hmm. often wonder, like, kind of to your point of what, you know, earlier when we were talking about the backwoods, like, are there different planets that mostly house species X, Y, or Z? And so maybe mm-hmm. it's like, you know, well, we have, you know, Twi'leks or Trandoshans or something, but they don't live on this planet traditionally in the lore.
Sure, yeah.
So let's just take let's make something new that, okay, the mole people love it here, you know, like,
well, yeah,
okay,
I like that because it's a mining community, you know?
Yeah. And so I was like,
okay. So that still works for me when it makes sense to do that. But like, I don't know, just it felt like they added too much stuff to Boba Fett that just didn't make sense.
It was
sense.
Just weird.
Yeah. There was a lot of stuff in Tatooine already to work with.
Right. Exactly. That's kind of where I was going to go. Like, Tatooine's also already so well established that mm-hmm. you had this group of people that we've never heard of or seen in any of the previous stuff. And it feels weird and out of place. Like, I'm fine if you're visiting a new planet or a planet that we don't know a ton about and you throw some new shit at us. Cool. Okay. But it's like you said, when you get to a well-known and well-tread place and then go, by the way, these people have just always been just off camera. And you're like, what? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So one cool like thing that I will admit I sort of missed, but I saw it in the new Rockstars thing, which is kind of crazy. The sister and brother were chatting in the Inquisitor's room when she comes walking into the Inquisitor's room. Mm-hmm. There's this like red shelf all around the room, right?
Uh-huh.
And if you look on it, it's just got like almost set up like trophies. Like, they're not piled there. They're set very ornamentally. It's full of lightsabers and those little bowl helmets that the younglings wear.
Oh, that's messed up.
And I was like, fuck, like, that's so dark.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like they're trophies from their kills. And I'm like, holy hell, man. Like, again, that's good. It makes them feel like, yeah, these people are vermin. Like that, like we are the space Nazis, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm into that stuff because it makes them feel like bad guys. Like, I don't like bad guys who are bad just for the sake of being bad, but I like bad guys who believe in an ideal enough that even when that ideal takes a left turn, they're blind to how bad they are because they only see the good. It's Nazis, you know. It's yeah. People who became Nazis because they were like, order makes sense, you know, like, and you just sort of turn the weird blind eye to everything. Those can be compelling bad guys as long as they're done in a believable manner, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of dug that. I totally missed that when I watched the episode and then I saw it on the new Rockstars thing and I was like, Jesus Christ. Like, that's crazy. The other mention we get is Quinlan. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you say his name, but a guy from more of the expanded lore who is a Jedi who we find out is basically saving people through this, like through the path, you know, or the way they call it, which is essentially like force sensitive underground railroad, you know?
Oh yeah.
And so, you know, there's been some, there was some speculation I read that, we know that O'Shea Jackson Jr. is going to be in this show, but we don't know who his character is. And so I've seen some speculation that maybe he's going to be playing Quinlan. Maybe we're going to see him live action. So that could be cool, man.
Yeah.
I think that would be cool. There's also, you know, New Rockstars has a video out that's like, was Quinlan the one that saved Grogu? Is that what we're going to find out? And I was like, okay. So it would be kind of cool if we see some of these things intertwine a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe episode 5 of Obi-Wan will just be all Mandalorian.
How many episodes are there?
I want to say that I heard there were 6.
Okay.
But I don't know if that's true.
Okay, so we're halfway there.
Let's see. It does say only 6 episodes are listed so far on IMDb.
Okay.
So maybe we will only see 6 of them. But yeah, that would put us at the halfway, the midway point already.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that this episode had enough intriguing stuff, enough fan servicey stuff, and a compelling enough story that it really worked for me.
Yeah. Yeah. After talking about it, I think that I did actually enjoy it more because I was really thinking about all of the Vader content.
Yeah. Yeah. The Vader stuff is just so good, man. Yeah. I mean, and it's so methodical. Like when he caught him on fire too, he just like tipped that tower over and then just like slowly dipped his lightsaber into it to catch it on fire. And I was like, good God, man. Like, it's just so brutal how just full of malice he is.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I got to say about it, man. I can't think of anything else. I'm excited to see where they go, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. So I know, again, we'll probably cover less news next week because we may try to talk a little bit about Ms. Marvel as well, but I don't know. We'll have to see.
Yeah. We'll have to see,
you know, cause, I think if we cut the news down or out, we might be able to fit discussion on both in here, but we'll kind of see what Ms. Marvel drops. Cause if they drop 2 episodes, you know, and there's a lot to talk about there, it might be too much, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll kind of play it by ear. So,
yeah.
All right, man. Well, sounds good. I think until next time, let us know how you're liking Obi-Wan. Is it a good continuation of the Star Wars saga, or is there something that you'd rather be seeing here?
Yep. Send us an email.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Later.
All right. See ya.
Grading the Nerd was recorded and produced by Zach Boyd and Tim Witham in Dayton, Ohio. If you liked our show, subscribe, rate, share, and review on Apple Podcasts or other platforms. For questions, comments, or ideas, drop us an email at gradingthenerdpodcast@gmail.com. As always, Anchor members can send us a voicemail. Our theme music was composed by Kevin MacLeod. You can find all of his credits and links in our show notes. Come back for more, and we'll see you next time on Grading the Nerd.